Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Radcliffe, and it is Thursday, August 31st. Last day of August. Fantasy football draft season winding down. I had my second to last draft today. One more thing, and actually it's sort of a little bit of a paradigm shift in terms of how you look at your roster when you draft, but I think it'll help you in general as you move forward through the season. We'll talk about that on the show today. I do actually want to lead with some of the IR news, one big one coming out of Miami, and some of the latest on Jonathan Taylor, mystery team solved. So we'll talk about that today as well. Appreciate everybody so far who has entered into the contest to win a year of Fantasy Plus over at FTNFantasy.com. Easy to do, man. All you have to do is review the show on Apple Podcasts, rate it, and in your review, leave your Twitter handle or your Instagram if you're not on Twitter, and you will be entered in to win. I'm going to do one more of those next week before week one gets rolling. However, if you're already a Fantasy Plus subscriber and you want to support this podcast, because remember, this baby's free. This is not behind a paywall. This is not like, subscribe here and get commercial-free episodes of this show. No, this is just straight-up free. So you want to help me out, review the show. It helps a lot. Appreciate you. Also, you could sign up over at FTNFantasy.com for Fantasy Plus. With that, you get stats galore. You get the cheat sheets for this final weekend of fantasy drafts. You get projections. I'm working on week one projections already. Well, not already. I guess this is about time. Being that week one is starting technically for me on Tuesday. Tuesday's the gear shift, by the way. Monday, it's Labor Day. I realize people still have drafts and everything. But if you have a draft after Monday, I'm already shifting gears. And I'll be in full-blown week one mode. But anyway, FTN Fantasy Plus, if you want to get rankings when they are released, you want all that, the waiver wire stuff, all that fun stuff, and then it continues straight on through the year. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Shout out to our presenting sponsor, Circa. The Circa Millions contest is registering right now. Time is running out. You have about 10 days left to get into this thing. September 9th, 2 p.m. is when registration closes. This is a contest where you're picking five NFL games against the spread each week of the season. If you win, you get $1 million. Against the spread is no joke, but $1 million is worth it. A little bit. Top 100 get payouts. There are payouts quarterly as well. So each quarter, you could potentially earn some money. There is a last place prize. You get pays to suck, kids. $100,000 for last place, $50,000 for second to last place. It's $1,000 to enter. You can enter up to five times. Register over at Circa or one of the sister properties in Vegas. If you are not in Vegas, you can use a proxy service if you're out of state. Okay, so let's dive into it. I want to talk about the injured reserve stuff first and foremost. There was a couple smaller ones yesterday, but obviously a big one today. That being Jeff Wilson Jr. landing on injured reserve. And not only landing on injured reserve, Mike McDaniel portrayed it like this. He said he wouldn't be surprised if he returned this season. Well, I will tell you, I am surprised that it was said that way. He wouldn't be surprised if he returns this season? It's being called either a finger or a core. So those are two totally different injuries. I'm assuming this is core, and usually like that implies core muscle surgery, something along those lines, that is what landed him on injured reserve. But in a lot of ways, this solved the mystery of like why in the world were they in the Jonathan Taylor sweepstakes, because they probably knew this was coming for a little bit of time. Now, first and foremost, current injured reserve policy in the NFL, it is a four-game absence. And notice I said 4 games, not 4 weeks. So this wouldn't apply here for Wilson, but if you were if you landed on injured reserve at some point during the season and your bye week was in the middle of that, that doesn't count towards it. It's 4 games, not 4 weeks, okay? So first and foremost, he will be out for at least the first month of the season. It sounds like it could be longer based on how Mike McDaniel portrayed this, though. Based on their possible pursuit of they did pursue Jonathan Taylor. They just didn't get him. Because the Colts wanted Jaylen Waddle. However, What is the fallout here? Well, the fallout, first and foremost, is this backfield looks a whole heck of a lot clearer. And by the way, it is curious that they moved on from Myles Gaskin despite this, but it looks a whole heck of a lot clearer. You will have a backfield that will be led by Raheem Mostert. He will be the primary early down runner in that outside zone scheme. Now, one constant feature of Raheem Mostert's career that we know probably quite well is injury. So I'm not going to go too crazy with Raheem Mostert. Like, if he's there in like the seventh round, okay, fine and dandy. But I'm not moving this guy up pretty rapidly or anything. Devon Achane also will be in the mix, and we're hearing he'll be back sooner rather than later from the shoulder injury that he suffered in the preseason. Not concerned about that injury whatsoever. Achane gives you a little bit of juice. He's got upside as a pass catcher, blazing fast, has a cap on what he can do in the run game because of his size, but and I would expect to see some Savon Ahmed, but I don't mind getting Achane, especially if he still hangs around into the late rounds. That may not happen. You know how reactive people can be in fantasy football drafts. But really, if you have a piece of Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, or Tua Tagovailoa, I think you're in a pretty darn good spot with this roster. If you get Mostert at the right value, fine. But I don't like to invest too heavily in older backs, especially older backs with lengthy injury histories. And then Achane, if you get it, you know, take a flyer on him a little bit as a punt RB2 option, zero RB option, that's fine. I just wouldn't go too overboard here. If you already drafted, and you already drafted Jeff Wilson, you can drop him. I don't see any issue with that. Now, you may say, well, I have an IR spot. Yes, you do, but those IR spots can be very crucial during the course of the season. Let's say you have a guy who lands in concussion protocol, misses a game. You can then shuffle, use that IR spot to your advantage and not, you know, toss him there and get a guy for that week. Even if it's playing a little defense on waivers, I'd rather be able to do that. So I would toss Jeff Wilson back. I don't really have any issue there if you were sitting on him. A couple other things that we had here for IR. Jelani Woods lands on IR. Again, not worth keeping him in a fantasy IR spot. He's a deep tight end. If you drafted him, just drop, and we'll keep an eye on him when he comes back. Kenny Nwangwu landed on IR as well. So for this backfield, for the Minnesota backfield, Ty Chandler, as of now, appears to be the number two, though that doesn't rule out Myles Gaskin quickly assuming those duties. He's coming from a very similar system. Like, so essentially, you have Mike McDaniel coming from a Shanahan scheme. You have Kevin O'Connell coming from the McVay scheme, and McVay and Shanahan coming from the same, essentially, like, history. So I don't think it's going to be too much of a stretch for Gaskin to get up to speed rather quickly in that backfield. So I would not simply count on, oh, I got Ty Chandler, he's the guy to have as the number two in that backfield. Now, if you have Alexander Mattison, you drafted him as a mid-range RB2. He is still a mid-range RB2. Therefore, he is not somebody who I would be handcuffing. However, something to note with handcuffing. Handcuffing doesn't, it's not just a draft strategy. It's a strategy that can be deployed over the course of a season. For example, like if you missed out on one of your cuffs, it's not the end of the world. Like if you have McCaffrey and you didn't get Elijah Mitchell, if Elijah Mitchell isn't used much during the course of the beginning of the season, whoever drafted him is going to drop his rear end. And then you can pick them up if you need to, but you may not need to based on your roster composition. However, there's an evolution over the course of the season as well. Every year there are guys at running back who exceed our expectations, and there are guys who don't. They do the exact opposite. But let's say for sake of argument, and this is just a hypothetical, so please don't react to this immediately. Let's say that Alexander Mattison, after the first 6 or 7 weeks, has shown, oh crap, this dude is a top 7, top 8 running back. You may at that point want to protect that asset because your asset has increased in value. So therefore you want to insure that asset, and how you insure that asset is you grab the handcuff. At that point, we'll figure out whether it's Myles Gaskin or not, or if it's Ty Chandler or whatever. But as of right now, there's no real reaction that we need to do. However, you know, just pay attention to that through the course of the season. As values change for your players, you may have to change what you're doing with your roster management to correspond to it. plain and simple. You don't have to do anything now, but it's, I often find that fantasy drafters, they do the handcuff thing in their draft. They feel so good about themselves because I got the handcuff. And then 3 or 4 weeks later, they don't care about it anymore, right? And they'll drop the handcuff or whatever. Handcuffing is a strategy that you use over the course of a season. And in some instances, like when it's McCaffrey, if McCaffrey doesn't get hurt and you have Mitchell, Mitchell stays on your roster. For the duration of the season, there's only one point in time where I would ever cut the handcuff. Only one point. And that one point is when I have made the fantasy championship game and it is week 17 and I'm playing endgame chess against my opponent where I am trying to scoop up players who they might need. I'm not doing that crap in week 4. I'm not doing that crap in week 12. The only times I'm doing that, really, like primarily the number one time would be if I made it to the championship game. I may consider it, but probably don't consider it in the semifinal round. But I'm definitely not doing that crap at any other point. However, if I know McCaffrey's playing, Mitchell doesn't have any value to me anymore. Now, I wouldn't want to necessarily give value to my opponent, so it's not – if Mitchell was let's say he's like a RB3, like he's RB36 for me for the week, then probably wouldn't cut him. But maybe it's Joshua Kelly or somebody. He's RB50 for the week. And I know my opponent would never use him in a million years, and I had Austin Eckler. Okay, I could cut him loose because I know I need to pick up somebody to block my opponent. But that's a week 17 thing. We're not even week 1 yet, so we're not worried about it. But there's an evolution there, of course. However, if you are cuffing and you have a valuable asset, you got to commit to that cuff, man. All right, so Jonathan Taylor, the latest there, we found out the mystery team, and it was the Green Bay Packers. That was not who I expected. Now, Brian Gutekunst did say they're not doing their jobs if they don't investigate. We don't even know what their offer was. However, I will say this. Aaron Jones, who is going to be 29 by the end of the season. So that could be something to do with it. I have no idea. But as of right now, Taylor is on PUP. He could still be traded up until the trade deadline, so we shall see. I am sticking to my story. I am staying far away from him and the rest of the Colts backfield right now. Just way, way, way too messy. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to talk about today is a mindset thing that I see all the time. And this is one of these old school things where we've been taught something forever in fantasy football. And therefore we always think of things this way, but it really is very detrimental to how we manage our rosters. And that is thinking about your rosters in terms of, I have this guy as my one, this guy is my two, this guy is my three, and so on. Like quarterback wise, I'll hear people say, well, you know, I have Joe Burrow as my starter, and then I drafted, who cares, Sam Howell as my backup. You don't need a backup. You don't need a backup. The purpose of a backup in the NFL is if your quarterback gets hurt in the middle of a game, you can put the backup in. You can't do that in fantasy. You don't need a backup. You need a quarterback for Joe Burrow's bye week, and I guarantee you can pick up that quarterback that week. You don't need that. It's a waste of a bench spot. Or when people will draft, like they'll draft five wide receivers in the first six rounds, and the fifth one they view as their wide receiver five. The reality is, it's not their wide receiver five. It's a wide receiver who has the potential to start for them any given week based on what rankings say. And same with the other four. They're not one, two, three, four, five. They're wide receivers on the roster. In other words, we're viewing it as a complete roster. We're not viewing it as, oh, well, he's my fifth, so he's on my bench, therefore he's expendable. No, he could start for you any given week, especially if you're wrong about one of the guys you drafted before him or one of the guys you drafted before him gets hurt. Or, heck, number five could just break out and you hit on him. The idea is drafting a complete roster, not drafting starters and bench. Because guess what? If you're drafting a bench, you're drafting players who belong on a bench. View it as a complete roster. And this is going to help you through the course of the season as well as you manage. You know, I see this with a lot of zero RB, pun RB2 people. When they draft those running backs in 7, 8, 9, 10, they say, okay, 7 is my 1, 8 is my 2, 9 is my 3. I've had experiences where the fourth, if I've gone 0 RB, the fourth running back that I technically drafted ends up being my best option. But I don't view it. He wasn't my RB4. He was one of the 0 RBs I drafted and thus had a possibility of emerging. That's the point of throwing those darts. So a huge paradigm shift. And I get it. I mean, hey, the commissioner platforms we play on are set up this way. You have starters and bench and so on. But if you continue to view your rosters in terms of starters and bench, you are going to have starters and you're going to have bench. And that becomes especially important when injuries set in, when the bye weeks come around and you're going to be starting bench players. And that's where some separation, that's where the rubber meets the road in fantasy football. And you may have a team that gets out to a hot start because they got a bunch of good starters. But when we get into those bye weeks, they start to come back to the pack. So I would suggest perhaps shifting how you view your rosters. You know, people are like, why do you draft 5 wide receivers in the first 6 rounds if you can only start 4 of them? Because I want a complete roster. I don't want bench players. I want guys who are going to give me firepower and ammunition against my opponents so I can ultimately dominate those leagues. Name of the game right there. All right, that's going to do it for today. I'm going to do a pod tomorrow to set us up for this last weekend of fantasy drafts. I'm going to take Labor Day off, enjoy the day with my family. Hopefully you do the same. But I appreciate everybody who has been reviewing this show. Continue to do so. Help me out. Apple Podcasts. And leave your Twitter handle in that review if you want to be entered in to win. Of course, if you want FTN Fantasy Plus, hook it up. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK. We'll get you 10% off. You can follow along with me on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe, and I also am at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. All right, I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the podcast. I am Jeff Ratcliffe, and I am out.